Welcome to the Boomer Woman's podcast, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. There's a role many of us are stepping into, sometimes gradually, sometimes all at once, and that's the role of being a grandmother. And while it may come with images of baking cookies, showing up for school events, and being the safe place, there's something more going on beneath the surface. Because whether we realize it or not, we carry influence. Influence shaped by decades of lived experience, by what we've seen, what we've learned, what we've lived through, and by how we choose to show up in the lives of the next generations. But here's the question: are we using that influence intentionally, or are we quietly stepping back, assuming it's no longer our place? This conversation is a little longer than usual because it needed to be. And somewhere along the way, you'll hear me have a small, where was I moment. We left that in because honestly, that's part of the journey too. What unfolds here is a thoughtful, honest look at what role we really play in the lives of our grandchildren and how that role might matter more than we think. Listen now to my conversation with Antoine Thompson. We often think of parenting as the place where values are shaped, confidence is built, and character is formed. But more and more, grandparents, especially grandmothers, are playing a powerful role in that journey. And it's not because they have to, but because they choose to show up. My guest today has spent more than 35 years coaching and mentoring young people. Antoine has worked closely with preteens and teens, helping them build the mindset, discipline, and resilience they need to navigate a world that's changing faster than ever. And he believes that the adults around these young people, including grandparents, have far more influence than they may realize. So today we're talking about that influence, what it looks like, how to use it intentionally, and how we, as women in this stage of life, can help shape the upcoming generation in ways that truly matter. And I'll be honest, as I was prepping my notes, I became aware that I might be looking for validation of my own grandparenting role and skills. Antoine Thompson, I'm glad I made you smile with that one. Welcome to the Boomer Woman's podcast, where we are embracing the journey.
Thank you, Agnes. I really appreciate you having me on. And when you reached out, I wasn't sure I would be a good fit. But when you reached back out and explained to me the premise behind the podcast, I'm like, yeah, that's absolutely. Every adult in a child's life is important. Not just the parents and their siblings, but absolutely the grandparents. And I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit more, but there are a lot of young people I work with, their grandparents are very visible and very present, and you can tell that it has a positive impact on them.
Yeah, my brother many years ago actually commented on how lovely my eldest grandson is. We had spent a lot of time together, my grandson and I, and my brother called it, kid, you can always tell when kids have the grandmother effect. So, yeah, interesting. Although I've heard recently that it is a thing in air quotes. Now, you've been working for over 3 decades with young people. What drew you to this work?
Wow, that's a big question, Agnes. I'll tell you, the big reason that I do it, believe it or not, is because I got cut from the basketball team every year in high school, but I love the sport. And took me a couple years to accept the fact that, hey, I'm not going to be that player, but I still love the sport. And how can I make an impact on a sport that I love? And I got an opportunity to coach. And the first age group I coached was 10 and 11-year-old boys. And they were, and the only reason I got to coach was because they had more players than they had coaches, and they needed more coaches. And these kids were not picked, so they were left over, so they needed a coach. I'm like, yeah, I love to. I don't care about their talent. And what I found out in that 1 year was how much of an impact I had on these kids. And I had no idea I was making that impact because I was just doing what I loved. But it told me after 1 year that I was teaching them more about life than I was about basketball. And an example I give you is now, literally, it's now 40 years this year. I wrote a book 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And the first testimonial I received was from that one of those 10-year-old boys from 1985,
Oh my
and the
goodness.
description and what he described in that first year blew me away. I had no idea I had that much of an impact because it wasn't about the sport; it was everything else that I taught. And I realized that I could make a difference of coaching. And with everything that I do, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit, my wife and I weren't able to have kids of our own. And, for years it really bothered me. But then I realized it was God made that happen for a reason, because he gave me a gift. And another young man, he gave a testimony and he said, he goes, "Coach T, you have a gift of impacting kids." And I feel like that was what the gift that God gave me was to do what I'm doing now and to impact more kids. So I didn't give kids my own because I had a gift to impact more kids. And that's what I do every day. And it's what I wake up thinking about and what I think about all day. And when I lay my head down is, how can I make a positive impact?
So the obvious question here is, after 40 years, how many kids do you have?
Yeah, right. I got a lot of kids. And what's funny is I still have I stay in contact with so many of them, and it's so refreshing. And not so much, and I think this is the other thing that I think your listeners need to understand too, is a lot of coaches won't say this, but I'm very transparent and very authentic when I say this. Every child that I work with makes me a better coach, because I learn about every child and they teach me things that I didn't realize was such an impact. And I think it encourages me to continue, because I realize every child has an opportunity to teach me how to be a better coach, and I want to be the best coach I possibly can be. So I'm always open-minded. It's not my way or the highway. I'm learning as I go, and we know life is a learning journey, and that's what I take it. That's what I take in every day when I do this.
I know with any young people that have gone through my life, especially my own, I always said I'm open to, whether it's criticism or instruction or anything, as long as you're polite. And I said, the minute you're rude, you're wrong.
Yeah, and you're right.
So that as long as there's respect there, sure, bring it on. tell me
Absolutely.
what I need to know. So today's teens and preteens compared to the teens and preteens when you first started this journey, what's different?
A lot, Agnes, a lot. Yeah, it's kind of eye-opening, and even it does get frustrating at times, because you have to understand that times change and kids are raised differently than we were. And going back to my point about being willing to learn, it's you have to compromise, and things that used to be non-negotiables are no longer non-negotiables. Now they are negotiables, and some of those things are the two biggest things that I deal with is discipline and commitment. Actually, there's a third: respect. Respect, discipline, and commitment. Because kids are so busy, they don't pour everything into what they're doing. They put just enough in to make it seem as though they're interested, because their minds are, there's so much, and the technology age has made their attention span so short, that whatever it is you engage them with, you have to make sure that it's educational, but it's also got to be entertaining. If it's not entertaining, you will not hold their interest. So my coaching approach has always been entertaining, but it's even more so now. Just like the conversations we're having, I coach the way that I'm having a conversation with you. The old school of berating kids and yelling at them to get them to do what you want, that doesn't work. They tune that out really quick. And this is one of the things I share with parents too, is, remember, your kids listen with their eyes now. They don't do it with their ears, because it's your behavior is what dictates what they do, because they're going to repeat what they see. And that's why I always tell parents, reward the actions that you want repeated, and tell kids, repeat the actions that you want to be rewarded for.
That's an interesting thing there. Just I had never put it into like a two-way give and take.
Yeah.
Obviously you do re as a parent, you reward the actions or the behavior that you want to see repeated, but to tell the young person that,
Repeat
keep
the
doing that
actions you
stuff.
want to be rewarded. Yeah, absolutely. And I think today, when they realize that there's something to be for them to be rewarded for, they're like, yeah, I want that acknowledgement, and I want to be appreciated. And what better way? And you're teaching them as you do that. And I think that also ties into the relationship part. I think the other part about the attention span. Well, what are parents doing at home when they're at home? Or do they have their phones in their hands nonstop? Well, kids are watching that. Well, if you got your phone, but you don't want me to have my phone, why don't you put your phone down? So you have to lead by example. And that's tough for some parents. I mean, you got two parent household where both parents may be working, and when they get home, it's their time to catch up. But you have to, work with your kids in that too. And it's not, we already understand that kids have to abide by the rules of the house. We know that that's a given. But at the same time, parents have an opportunity to restructure that to where it's like, this is what we do. It's not just you, this is what you do. This is what we do as a family. And this is how we stay connected. This is how we make sure that we have verbal conversations and not electronic conversations. Your kid's up in a room and you're texting, hey, what do you want for dinner? And then, the text, whatever. Well, that's not a conversation. That's just an answer. And then, you really don't have an opportunity to build relationships. And at least the other part I think is really tough is relationships. Kids don't put as much into relationships as they used to. And I say that because this is what I hear and I see it. I watch how kids interact with their parents. Some kids can't wait to get away from their parents. And others, like when I go talk to parents after a game or a workout or something, if the kids don't hang around, it tells me more about the relationship with their parents than if they stand there and have the conversation with me and their parents.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen it all. That's crazy. Where do you see the biggest gaps, in terms of what are young people not getting in terms of, I mean, the obvious things are, yeah, the parents who are on their gadgets as much as, they're telling their kids not to be. In class, I've heard of teachers that lean on the desk and, they've given an assignment and they sit
Sure.
there on the gadget as well. But what other gaps are there?
Structure. And you just hit the nail, and you just hit one of the key components. There's no structure. For instance, to your point about teachers, we all know a lot of teachers are leaving the industry because it's become so difficult. One of the reasons it's difficult is because they can't control the kids in the classroom. And they can't control the kids in the classroom because the structure outside the classroom affects the structure inside the classroom. If there's no structure at home, how do you expect a kid to come to school and follow rules at school when they don't follow them at home, or they don't have rules at home like they do in the classroom? So those are things they're not being taught. So there's accountability and responsibility that's not being taught at home consistently. I'm sure there is, but it's about consistency. And that also leads to the gap between teachers and parents. I see, and I follow a lot of educators and parents on TikTok, and I listen to the stories, and you want to get both sides of the story. And teachers are sharing, and they're sharing emails and voicemails that they get from parents. And I'll give you a perfect example where you say, what's the biggest gap? There's a teacher reads emails that they get from parents about kids not getting their work done. One kid had missed eight assignments, and the parent emailed the teacher, not asking, but telling the teacher to go ahead and credit her son for the eight missed assignments, that he'll get them done at some point, but go ahead and give him credit because he needs to pass this class to go to the next grade. Well, what do you think? If the parent is telling the kid that that's what she's going to do, what do you think the child thinking? Oh, I don't have to be accountable for and responsible for doing the work because my mom or my dad's going to take care of it for me. And I always share with kids, your parents are not always going to be there. When you get that job and the boss says, hey, where's that report that I asked for? And he goes, oh, yeah, well, I'll get it. And then you either get written up or you lose your job and you go call your mom or dad. They're not going to be able to call your boss and say, hey, give my son another week to get, or daughter to get that report done. It doesn't work like that. So those are, it's just life experiences and life skills that kids are missing. And it's like their lives are going so fast that nobody's taking the time to teach them these skills.
So if today's youth are the children of my children, what are parents like why do the parents do that? Like in terms of, oh yeah, just give him his credits because I'll make sure he gets to it. Now that about sounds like they won't get to it.
Right.
How did that happen? Like, I mean, when people complain about the next generation below me, I often look them in the eye and say, and who raised them?
Them when that's what I was going to say, who raised them? There was a joke Chris Rock used to tell years ago, and it was funny, but it made sense. And he goes, you know what's wrong with kids? They're being raised by they call their grandmama mama, and they call their mama by their first name because the grandparents are doing more for the kids than the parents are. So you think about how many kids are being left with their grandparents more than they are their parents. And I know that there's some kids that are. There's actually kids that are being raised by their grandparents, but their parents are around, but for whatever reason, they're being raised by the grandparents. And what I'm seeing is there's more structure in the grandparent home than it is in the kids. And you're a grandmother, so you know what I'm talking about. You would hold your kids, your grandkids, accountable and responsible because you know how important it is for their future. Well, the parents are like, well, if my mom or my dad's taking care, or my mom and dad are taking care of kids, they'll take it. I'll just do my thing. But the kids are seeing the lack of responsibility on the parents' side. They're respecting their grandparents, but they're losing respect for the parents because the parents aren't showing them what they should be. And I think it goes a long way. And then those kids are learning less structure, which means they're going to teach their kids less structure. And that's kind of where how we got to where we are now.
So this just occurred to me, and I'm going to ask it. It might be totally out of your bailiwick. Divorce rates are higher now than ever before, and I'm talking about that in between generation. And I mean, you often hear about that back and forth between divorced parents, of oh, your mother won't let you do that. Buff, come on, do it while you're with me for the weekend. Or your dad said that. No, don't be silly. It's fine. Where the parents are playing off of each other, trying to one up. Has that got anything to do with it, or is this even happening in
Oh,
like
sure.
completely
There.
tangible?
What, you know, this is a great example. So I'm in my first year as director of basketball at a Christian school. And what that is, I'm the head coach for the boys varsity team and the girls varsity team, but I'm also responsible for the middle school and junior varsity team, meaning structure and what we do philosophically and so on and so forth. And one of the things that I'm finding out, I didn't realize this, but going through, there are a lot of parents that are not together, but they're both involved in the kids' lives. And some of the parents have remarried and some haven't. And surprisingly, I'm seeing a lot of good in that, not negative, which is great. And maybe part of it being a Christian school, that probably, kind of helps. But it does make an impact from the other side of where school where I was before. I was there for 11 years. It was different. Parents that were divorced, the kids were with dad 1 week, mom 1 week, and there was always behavioral issues kind of tied into what you're saying. And I'm sure that's part of it. They get to do whatever they want at one parent, and the other has more structure, which creates a lot of tension between the parents, and the kids are seeing that tension. Or if they don't see it, they can feel it. I'm sure everybody knows you can feel tension when it's in a room. And sometimes kids, they shut down. And when they shut down, that's when they lash out because they don't have a trusted adult that they can talk to and trust. And that's the other role that I focus more on. I'm focused, basketball is nothing but a catalyst for me to teach life skills to these kids, to be honest with you. I can coach, and I'm not, this is not to brag, this is just from a love, from a place of confidence. I can teach the game with my eyes closed, but I focus on teaching the life skills through the sport. And I always make parallels and analogies between sports and real life. And the kids really get a really good sense of where they are. And another example, that's one of the varsity girls sent me a message. I was just thanking them all for the season and the parents. I sent a letter to the parents and the kids. And this young lady, she's a sophomore, the only sophomore on the varsity team. And she replied back. She wanted to thank me not only for coaching them, because I wasn't going to coach them, but they didn't have a coach. And I said, I don't want them not have a season, so I'll do it. But she said she thanked me for raising the bar, number one, but also treating everyone equally. And for kids to know that in just a matter of 4 months, that big of a difference, that's how I know I'm in the right place and I'm making the right impact in such a short time. Just imagine what happens in the next 2 to 3 years if, we stayed of course at what we're building.
Yeah, that whole thing of coaches, parents really pointing out that somebody's better than somebody and somebody's not as good as somebody is just, yeah, I've watched just people, they just sag into nothing. It just takes away everything from the strength inside, which is a good segue. I do have a question. What are the other signs, or what are some of the signs that a youth is struggling but not saying out loud?
So this is I was is actually ties into the last part of what we're just talking about, and I think it's a great way to lead into this one. So every time a child is playing in a sport, specifically a team sport, any team sport, there are four components that are always at play. And a lot of people don't think about this, but when they think about them, it all makes sense. So every time your son or daughter goes and plays a team sport, they're trying to do four things. They're trying to please you, the parents, because they want you to be proud of them. They're trying to please their coach, who is coaching them, so that they get more opportunities to contribute to the success of the team. And then they're also trying to please their teammates because they want to make them proud and want to be set an example for them to emulate what they're doing if they happen to be that player that gets some better opportunities than others. But it's the fourth component to me, Agnes, that's the most important. And that is the child's always out there trying to please themselves. And when you have so many distractions, and when I say distractions, the parents that are in the stands trying to tell them what to do, but it's the coach that's spending 10 to 12 hours a week teaching them what to do, and you're confusing the child because they want to make you happy, they want to listen to you. But if I listen to you, that means I'm not listening to my coach. If I don't listen to my coach, he's not going to give me the opportunities. So that's a tug of war. When that tug of war starts, that's when kids start to shut down because there's no way they're going to please themselves. Because I can't please mom and dad. I'm not pleasing the coach, which means I'm not pleasing my teammates. And kids shut down when that happens. And you can see it. And I don't watch body language when I can tell when a kid's shutting down. It's all in the eyes. Their eyes tell you everything. Most people worry about the drop shoulders and the slump shoulders or whatever. That's the last part. The first sign is in their faces. Their eyes will tell you everything about whether they're shut down or they're engaged. And it's very frustrating as a coach, but I address it at the beginning of the season and I explain those four components because I tell parents, love for you to cheer, but I do not want you coaching from the stands. There are repercussions because the first time your son or daughter looks in the stands when you call their name, that'll be the last time they play that day. So there are repercussions. So I'm also doing it so that the kids can advocate for themselves. And the second component of that is advocacy for the kids. I instruct them, the better conversation you have with your parents, the better they're going to enjoy the experience of coming to watch you compete, not play, compete. And when you say, hey, mom, dad, don't cheer from stands because you're disrupting what I'm learning from coach and team during the week. Love for you to cheer, but please don't get shout out instructions during the game because it's distracting. I want to be focused on my teammates. Well, for me as a coach, I love that because now they know, guess what? Not only are they feeling strong enough to have a conversation, say, hey, mom, dad, love that, but please don't do this. But they're also going to do the same to me as a coach if they don't like something, because I want them to have a voice. Because if they don't speak up for themselves, who is? And I tell them they have to because they say, hey, coach, what do I need to do to get more opportunities to contribute to the success of the team? Guess what they've done? They put that full responsibility on me. And I always light up when a kid asks me that because it lets them, I let them know that I'm proud of them for speaking up. But it also says, hey, now you've challenged me to follow through on what you've asked, and I would love to do that. Well, just me telling them that I love to do that, I've already inspired them to do better. They're going to do better anyway. Because now they have a coach that believes in them and wants to help them.
Well, surely too, it shows you that their heart is in the game. You
Right.
know, they want to up their game by coming
Yeah,
and saying,
absolutely.
bring it on, coach. One
Yeah.
really quick story is all three of my kids played soccer, and I was at one game, and the parents of the opposing team were just screaming. They were like those bad soccer parents. And finally, I walked around to the other side of the field, and I'm just watching the game from their side. And they're screaming and yelling. And finally, I looked and I said, "Don't you just hate it when those kids are in the heat of the game and they can't see everything that we can see over here on the sidelines?"
Right.
And they just looked at me, and I think they got really ticked off because they also realized I was an opposing parent. But it was
Yeah.
so frustrating, you know, because it's really easy to sit on this. I don't care whether it's soccer, basketball, hockey, anything. It's so easy to sit on the sidelines and know exactly what
Yeah.
needs to be done next. But
Yeah. You
okay,
said the right,
that's
that was perfect. You said that
it.
perfectly. Kids can't see what you see because they're in the mix of it. But that's why they have a coach. The coach sees what you see too. But guess what? The coach sees what the coach wants to see because he's coaching. If you were coaching, you could see what the coach is seeing. And that leads to the other part. I try to educate the parents on the game so that they can enjoy it. I share with them what our philosophy is, what we do offensively, defensively, so they know what to look for. And what they'll find is I don't know how much you know about basketball, but a lot of teams, they run plays. And some teams have 10, 20, 30, some colleges have like 40, 50 plays. And you're going up down the court and the coach is yelling out a play, like, okay, that's play 53, 56, 7. It's all you're doing is being a robot. Go here, go there, go here, go there. I teach kids how to play because it's about critical thinking skills. So I teach the basics of the game and all of the things that could potentially happen, putting them in the best position to be successful. Well, when they start thinking, hey, coach said I can do this, I can do whatever I want as long as I take advantage of what the defense is giving me. And I'm like, yeah, really? I'm like, yeah. So they naturally start playing harder because now they're like, I'm not a robot. I have freedom, but freedom within the confines of what we're trying to do. And what that does is teaches them, hey, I can think on my own and still be successful. And I think that that's what's missing, not only in sports, but also in the classroom. When you're talking about the disconnect there, teachers are literally teaching lectures. And the kids say, coach, I know more than the teachers do because I can just go online and pull up what they're teaching me. So there's a loss of respect because they're not really being taught anything. They're just being shared information that they can readily get anywhere.
Okay, so on to grandparents.
Yes.
Now it became really obvious to me, both as a parent and most recently as a grandparent, that I have influence and power. And in both cases, there were really specific incidents that pointed that out to me. And I really went, whoa, and it really educated me of like, be careful, because you do have the power, in air quotes. Do grandparents often underestimate their influence?
Oh, I think they do. I think they do. And I think it's also depending on, the age of the grandparents. We talk about generations, because it all depends on, like, I think about even in my life, some grandparents are just happy to be grandparents, right? Anything that happens, they don't get overly involved. They just go. I'll look at my father-in-law with our nephews. They're like 9 and 5. They play soccer. They don't know anything about the sport. They could care less about the sport. They just want to go see their grandsons play. So that's a grandparent that's just in it for the right reasons, what I like to say. You just want to see your grandkids play well. Well, then there's, and I think you're kind of talking, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, there's some disciplinary things in there that grandparents can do too. But it's also, what have you as a grandparent, this is a question I pose to you. What powers have grandparents been granted from their kids as it relates to their grandkids? There are some parents that are very strict, like, no, you only can do the good things for the kids. Don't discipline them. Just get them all the goodies. Take them to get ice cream, McDonald's, and the Happy Meals or whatever. So it's about what your restrictions are as a grandparent determines how much impact and how much influence you can have.
Okay, and we're going to come back and revisit that in a few minutes.
Okay.
Now, if a grandmother is spending time with her grandchildren regularly, are there any simple things that she can do to help build confidence, resilience? And I'm going to talk through the grandmother's lens because it's the Boomer
Sure.
Woman's podcast.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm a boomer too now. I was born in 1964.
Ooh,
So
you just snuck in there.
yeah,
Yeah,
just snuck
yeah.
in there. Yeah,
You don't
absolutely.
have the gender thing happening, though, so.
No, yeah, right. Your question is great because it, believe it or not, and let's begin from our generation of grandparents, the older grandparents, they have the best opportunity to have the most influence because they know what those core skills are, personal growth and development skills. The responsibility, the accountability, helping build character, how to speak up for themselves, how to deal with conflict, is not just lashing out and teaching those most basic skills that aren't being taught in school. So they have a lot of influence. The younger those kids are, the more influence they have. And I can tell again what kids have that early discipline and which ones don't. But I also have no problem putting my foot down the right way. I've never been one that I always talk to kids in a way that they know I mean business. because I joke a lot because I like to, for the, to for them to enjoy it. But they know when I get serious, they know I'm serious. So think about it from that perspective. You probably the same way, right? I don't have to yell. My face says everything. I can give them a look, and they're like, "Oh, he's serious," and they just get in line. So that's just an example of what you nonverbal skills that you can teach kids. You know, it's understanding how to read the room. Everybody doesn't think everything you do is cute. You know, it's at home, it's great. Oh, look at my guy, he does. Yeah, I've seen it 5,000 times. It was funny the first 5 times. It's not funny anymore. And the more you entice them and enable them to continue that negative behavior, they're going to continue because they think it's cute. And that's where grandparents can remind kids, hey, you're getting older. You know, you don't really need to be acting, you know, like you're 3 when you're 6. You don't need to act like you're 4 when you're 8. You know, things of that nature. I hope that answers your question some.
And just to follow up too, in terms of because we've got the history, and plus oftentimes we brought our own kids, we were brought up that way, brought our kids up that way with structure. How can we voice or phrase things so it doesn't sound like we're lecturing? I mean, that's the first thing that's going to turn a grandchild off, as far as I can think of, is, oh, here we go, another grandma lecture.
Questions, questions,
Okay.
open-ended questions. And reason open-ended questions is so great, you don't get, like if you want to chastise your grandson or granddaughter, it's not, we don't do that. And then, because they're going to tune you out after about 10 seconds. You ask questions because what you're doing is you're teaching them, but what better way to teach them than to have dialogue as opposed to just telling them? When you have dialogue, and it's not yes or no questions, they have to be, but why wouldn't I want you to do that? You know, you're not just, we don't do that because, and they're like, oh, geez, here comes another lecture, guys. Why would I not want you to do that? Well, because exactly. So when you get in this situation in the future, you'll understand why I wouldn't want you to do that. And probably somebody else wouldn't want you to do that. So having dialogue, and I think this is the other part, kids don't, parents and kids don't have enough dialogue, verbal dialogue. They have a lot, plenty of electronic dialogue between email, text, and whatever it may be, but there's not enough dialogue. So open-ended questions is one of the best things. And I always talk about building relationships. You have to have conversations. And one of the ones I always tell them, this is for grandparents too, asking, hey, did you want to know about when the first time I got in trouble when I was in middle school or when I was in elementary school? Well, their eyes are like, you got in trouble? And guess what? They're going to learn that. One thing, oh, grandma got in trouble too, but they're also going to realize that you're being very vulnerable and transparent with them, and they know that they can make mistakes because you made mistakes, and then you can overcome mistakes because you accept them, you learn from them, and you move on.
The funniest incidence of that was actually with my son as an adult. It was pretty funny. Okay, so I find that as a parent and as a grandparent, when I'm driving, they're in the passenger seat, I take no eye contact so the conversation can really flow.
Right.
Are and actually, maybe you answered this earlier. I was going to say, are there boundaries in terms of, what a grandparent can get into with a kid, but I think maybe you answered that too in terms of the parents will often do that. And I know there was one time where I thought, okay, these are important questions. I answered completely honestly, and as soon as I dropped my grandson off, I was on the phone to his mother saying, okay, this is a conversation we just had. So if he has information that you don't understand how he got it, it was
Yeah.
me. And I mean, I do have a good relationship with both of my daughters who have children. So, hopefully I'm doing okay so far. But are there places we shouldn't go, or is it?
I think you shouldn't put limitations on it, to be honest with you, Agnes, because I
Yeah.
think if you do, then you may be limiting your opportunity to have more of an impact. I think with experience, with life experience, I think you would know. Just if you were having that one-on-one, but what you just described is the perfect way to do it too. If you feel like you may have shared more than you probably had anticipated, yeah, you let your kids know, hey, listen, we had this conversation about, just wanted to let you know. And they say, oh, great, thanks, or hey, I appreciate it, but in the future, you know, kind of let me do that. But I think the more, if I wouldn't go into it putting limitations on yourself, because I think you have the opportunity, and I truly believe this, that you'll have more of an opportunity to have an impact if you just go with your gut feeling. Your life experiences and grandparents' life experiences supersede anything, in my opinion, that parents have now, because it is life experiences that teach us. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have all this technology. So there were a lot more dialogue. There was more opportunities to teach these things, and kids aren't sitting long enough. So having conversations, asking questions, just opens the door, and it truly does. I love watching the video TikToks of watching toddlers with their grandparents. When they see their grandparents, they just light up, and it kind of ties in what you're talking about. And when I see that, it tells me that the parents have a great relationship with their parents, because the way that child reacts to the grandparents. Yeah, I know they're young, but at the same time, I look at my nephews. Whenever they go see my father-in-law, they are just like pop, pop, and they're 9 and 4, and it's just a great thing, because they're in an environment that they're also getting disciplined when they're doing things they're not supposed to do. They're free to do what they want, but when it's time to stop, it's time to stop. And they understand that. For some people, just kind of like, oh, they're kids, that's what they do, which is part of the gentle parenting. That's a whole different ball game. I don't think I want to talk about that.
That's a whole nother podcast episode.
Yeah,
I'm with
that's
you
another whole thing. Yeah,
there.
that's another whole ball game. But I to answer your question, I think grandparents have so much ability to impact kids in such a positive way, and I don't think they should hesitate to share their knowledge and experience through love and expression.
Yeah, and I guess personally, I'm also really afraid of those conversation killers of, oh, well, that's not something you should be talking to me about. You should talk to your mother, as though it's like the wall. Even
Right.
if you only give a little bit of information and say, well, maybe your mom knows more about that than I do, or I like it. There's probably ways to do it. That or just the fact that that's a taboo subject. Like, I'm concerned that as soon as you label things taboo, that, there's going to be a number of possible reactions, and none of them that I can see are positive.
Positive. I think the way you just described it is perfect. I mean, there's things where you're like, if you're not sure, it's like, I think that's probably a conversation your mommy and daddy might want to talk to you about, because it's just, that's a mommy and daddy conversation. It's not a grandpa grandma conversation, and I think they'll respect that. And then, of course, you might want to forewarn your kids that that question might be coming, so they don't get blindsided and they can kind of prepare for it. But yeah, I think they're, again, I think grandparents should use their best judgment. And but in the long and short of it, I would say take the gloves off and make the biggest impact as you possibly can. Because if I'm a boomer and I'm impacting the kids the way I am, and I'm being honest with them and I'm being straightforward with them, they respect it. And that leads to another part, to answer your question. Kids know when you're throwing crap at them and when you're being genuine. They know, and they can read, and that's what I think a lot of people forget. These kids are smarter than we give them credit for, and being honest with them is the best thing we can do, whether it's a parent or a grandparent, uncle, cousin, whomever it may be. Being honest, I always remind kids, I'm going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Because if I tell you what you want to hear, you're going to believe, oh, what coach said. Well, that ruins my reputation too, and I want my reputation to be that I'm going to be a straight shooter. I want every child to succeed, but I want them to do it the right way, which means if you're not working hard enough, I'm going to tell you. And I'll give you a perfect example how I do it. When you say about asking questions, in the I think it's about halfway through the season, we had a practice with the girls, and these are great girls, really young varsity team, but these girls have great attitudes. And we're going through this drill, and I stopped the drill, and I just asked the question. I went, did you guys really go do that to the best of your ability? Did you give it 100%? And I said, as a matter of fact, if you gave it 100%, raise your hand. Nobody raised their hand. Honesty. So asking a question got honest answer. Instead of me just going, you girls didn't do the best you can, get on the line, I'm going to make you run. Well, there's nothing to be taught there. Well, what I taught them was be honest with yourself. Because at the end of the day, you're the ones to have to compete. And I want you to compete at your best. And if you don't give your best in practice, you're never going to give your best in a game. So that's an example of asking questions and getting an honest answer. And they appreciate that because now it's like, well, he's not just calling me out and yelling at me. He's asking me a question. I just told him myself. So now I got to play harder. And they did. So.
Yeah, and I always say I've got a really good BS meter, and I've got to assume that other people do too, including kids, you know. So it
Yeah,
keeps
they
you,
do.
you know,
Yeah, they
between
do.
the
They
lanes,
do.
shall we say. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so you created the Sea of Success framework. Tell us a little bit about that, and then can you walk us through how it relates with grandparents? Like, how would grandparents actually use it?
Sure, yeah. So the Sea of Success is truly my coaching style, and it focuses on three components: simplicity, effort, and attitude. What we do and what a grandparent's life is already complicated enough. You're trying to live your life, you're trying to help your kids with your grandkids, and you have your life going on. So everything is already complicated. Well, what you have to do is simplify everything. You already know that stuff is there. It's about prioritizing things, putting things in a position where, hey, this is the most important thing I have to focus on. Or when it comes to my grandkids, it's not just babysitting them. There has to be some intentional interaction too. It could be just to follow up on her education, whatever it may be. But simplicity is the most important thing, or one of the key components of teaching young people to be successful. The second is the effort. You have to put forth effort to be that grandparent that you want to be, not like they call fair weather fans. You don't want to be that fair weather grandparent. You got to be present all the time, even when you don't want to be, because your grandkids are learning from, and like I said earlier, they're watching and with they're listening with their eyes, not their ears. So they're watching everything you do. It's like, hey, you want to do this? Or hey, let's just kind of chill and do this. Well, if you're taking time off, they're going to take time off. So if you're going to be intentional about something, put forth the necessary effort. And then the last component to me is the most important, because you can't put forth effort and you can't simplify anything if you don't have the right attitude. And one of my favorite quotes is, a positive attitude almost always determines your altitude in life. So having a positive attitude is the most important thing. We're all going to have good days. We're all going to have bad days. But when you anticipate those bad days, you know, if I give my energy and my effort into the negative and that bad part of the day, it's never going to get better. But if I put that positive attitude, hey, this is just a little blip in on the radar, if you will, and all I got to do is refocus and do my thing. You're also teaching your grandkids how to overcome that negativity. How do you handle it is how they're going to handle it. And a lot of people like to lash out when they get frustrated. You know, there's the old thing where you count to 10. No, you don't count to 10. You just think about it. Hey, listen, I'm here to lead by example. So if I can't control my emotions and regulate my emotions, how am I expecting my grandkids to? There are, when they get to the terrible twos, there's not very much you can do. So you're going to really be tested on that attitude part when if you're dealing with them a lot during that time. But so those are the three components: simplicity, effort, and attitude. And if I give you an example of how you would apply those, let's just say that you have your grandkids for, let's say, the weekend, okay? You've got to have that weekend planned out. You wing it, the simplicity, effort, and attitude is not going to work, because you're going to be trying to apply it on everything that you do. But if you have a planned weekend, you've already taken care of the chaos. You've organized it. So you've taken care of the simplicity part of it. Then when you put it into play and you put it into action, you have to be intentional with everything that you're doing, meaning don't deviate from the plan because the kids aren't, your grandkids aren't abiding by it. There has to be a reason that you have the plan, because it's a learning opportunity for them. They don't always get what they want. And that's something that grandparents have to understand too, because I know that there's one grandmother on TikTok. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. She's baking a chocolate cake for her grandson, and the mom walks in and she goes, "Mom," and she just says, "Well, he wanted a cake," so she just makes him a cake at 8 o'clock. Well, you can't do that. Just got to go, hey, we'll do it, but we'll do it later. And then the attitude part is, it's you love being around your grandkids. When they see that excitement and that joy and that love, that's how they're gonna treat other people. And I think grandparents have a great opportunity to teach their grandkids about love and genuine, authentic love, not this, "Oh, I love you," because you know as well as I do, you can tell when somebody means it when they say it. This will be, I've been married, my wife and I'll be celebrating our 22nd wedding anniversary this year in May. And there's not a day has gone by in those 22 years that I haven't said love you at least 5 times a day, at least 5 times a day. And the way we say it is our way, and we know it means something. But if you heard me say it, you would think it doesn't mean anything, but it means something to us. And the same thing for grandparents. When you're saying things to your grandkids, make sure they know and that you mean what you say. And going back to your point about the BS meter, kids, they have a BS meter too. And if you're asking them, say, tell me you love me, I love you. No, say it like you mean it. And then they learn that there's something intentional about their words, and their words are powerful.
It's great. I'm enjoying talking to you here, and I got a feeling that, like, right about now, as you were actually explaining the sea of success, is that what it is? I've just gone past the end of
Yes.
my notes. Yeah, sea of
Yep.
success. I'm actually thinking, how many people are actually going to stop the podcast, go get a pen and paper, and start again and take
Yeah.
notes, because you've come
Well,
up with so many gems. It's great in that regard.
I can help you with that in a second, because actually the book is on Amazon. They can get their book, The Sea of Success, and it breaks
Oh,
down
there we
all the
go.
stuff that I'm talking about. So you
Oh,
can get it.
perfect.
It's on Kindle, paperback, and hardback. But what's great about this book and the Sea of Success is it's a culmination of everything I've been doing coaching and applying this every year that I coach. And it was our motto for the program was simplicity, effort, attitude. Let's simplify what we're doing, put forth maximum effort, and let's have a positive attitude. And we did not have a good season, wins and losses for many of the teams, but one of the best compliments we ever got was coaches and fans would say, we love your team's energy, even when you're losing. Because everything is not about winning and losing. It's about the camaraderie. It's about growing together. And we are better. These kids can't wait for next season now because they realize how fun it can be. And even though you don't win, you still can have fun.
And I got a few more questions for you, but I'm just thinking too that, especially on a team, then you've got that teamwork piece, which people have to learn how to work with others.
Sure.
And also, I'm sure the friendships are that last for years and possibly a lifetime.
They do, and it's also how you set kids up to build those relationships. And one of the ways that I do it is, yes, I'm the head coach, or whatever, but the kids' voices matter on our daily basis. I don't want them just listen to what I say, again, asking questions, but they also get every player on the team from the so-called most skilled to the least skilled has the same equal voice on any team that I coach. We do not have captains. I don't do captains because every child has leadership qualities, and I want them to learn those on their own. So if I tab one or two people, the other 10 or 12 people are going like, well, I guess I'm not good enough to be a leader. Everybody has leadership qualities, and I put every kid an opportunity to be a leader. And the way that we do it is before every game, the kids rotate, starting with the lowest number, and the first two numbers go, they represent the team as captains. Then the next game, the next two, and then the next two, and then the next two. And what that does is every player gets to be that captain. And I can tell you, Agnes, I can watch the pride in the kids' eyes and their faces when they're like, hey, I don't get to play a lot, but I'm the captain, today. So those are the little things we talk about teaching life skills. And what it does is you also ask them, hey, I want you to kind of go over this particular drill or whatever. And like, really? I'm like, yeah, you know it, don't you? Well, yeah, just make sure everybody's doing it right. Okay. And so everybody gets to be in that coaching role. That's a leadership role. And guess what? That translates to game days. They're more in tune, they're more focused because they know that they're part of that plan. They were part of us getting better.
Okay, so let's go back now to those grandparents who have been told, sometimes not too so gently, that their role is just to be Grammy and you bake cookies and that's your role. Don't care what your background is, what you think you might be able to impart to our children, that's not your role. H how do women who really feel that they can honestly, and I don't mean the bad, well, the bad, I won't say bad, but I mean
I know what you mean.
some grandparents aren't that great.
Yeah.
They are interfering, but if a grandmother really feels that she has something to impart to her grandchildren, but the parents have drawn that line in the sand, is there anything that she can do?
Yeah, you absolutely have to. If you concede and go, okay, this is what I'll do, you're never going to really enjoy that relationship because you're going to be defined as the grandparent that can only do X, Y, and Z. I'm not sure I know any grandparent that wants to be limited in how much love and interaction and impact they can have on their grandkids. I'm being honest. And of course, I'm speaking from a place, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, I don't want anybody to get it confused. I was reminded whenever I mentioned that I don't have kids of my own, there have been several people that say, hey, let me stop you right there. You've been around enough families and enough kids, and you've impacted enough people that you're qualified to give this advice. And so I tell you, if it matters to you, it matters to them. And I think that that's what you have to remember. It's not just about the impact that you're making on your grandkids as a grandparent, but what impact are your grandkids not going to have on you as your grandchildren? How important is that to you? And when you look at it that way, what are you willing to fight for? And when I say fight for it, I don't mean shouting matches, things like that. I mean, what are you willing to, go to the ends of the earth for to make things the way you want? So I would strongly advise or recommend having that conversation, knowing if we apply the simplicity, effort, and attitude to this, simplify what it is you want to accomplish, right? Having a plan, simple plan on what you want to convey. Don't go too deep because it's all surface, meaning I want to have the most impact on my grandson or granddaughter that I possibly can. And the best way for me to do that is to be able to instill the wisdom and knowledge that I have. I don't want to impede on what you're trying to teach them, but I also don't want you to negate my opportunity to have a positive impact on my grandson or granddaughter. So how can we work together to ensure that we both have the positive impact on your children and my grandchildren that you want? Because this is, and I'm going to say this first, I'm sure there's some parents out there, just remember, there's going to come that time when you need that grandparent and you're going to want them to do what you ask them not to do, because you're not going to be able to. So remember, be careful what you wish for and be careful what limitations and restrictions you put on grandparents, because when that switch turns and you open a door that you once had closed, yeah, your grandparents are going to be welcome to it, but I would be crazy not to think that they're going to have a little bit of resentment. It's like, well, that's what I've always wanted to do, but now you're letting me do it because you can't, if that makes sense. So don't be afraid to stand up for what you believe. You have to be your own advocate. And you've raised your son or your daughter that's raising your grandkids, so you should have a good enough relationship. And that's the other part. What kind of relationship did you have with your kids growing up? What was it that you were able to do when they were younger to convey to them what you wanted? That's never changed. And I know, like I mentioned to you earlier about losing my mom. My mom was my best, before my wife was my best friend. And I could talk to her about anything, and she would tell me what I needed to hear. And when it came to my nieces and nephews, she had a good relationship with my older brother and his kids, her grandkids, but not the greatest with my youngest because they moved around a lot. So that hurt her a lot. She wasn't able to see them. But she spoke up and she told my brother, hey, I'd really like to see the kids more when they're coming around. And over time, that was able to happen. It was without its issues, but my mom stood her ground and said, hey, this is what I want because when my time is up here, I want to make sure I maximize the time with my grandkids. And so my advice is speak up for yourself because you love your grandkids. You want the most time with them. You want to have the most positive experiences with them. Don't shortchange yourself because you're afraid to speak up.
And two thoughts as you were talking is you had mentioned something about, we can learn too from our grandchildren. And so to explain to the parents, the only way I'm going to know what's happening in the world today and in my grandchildren's life in the next 10 years is by talking, having some of these conversations, even if you define which ones you're allowed to have. But now I've forgotten what the second thing was. So important.
Why do I know exactly what you mean when you say that? Because I do it too, a lot.
And I have a pen and paper right here. I could have written it down. Anyway, let's move on. I did mention on the lead into that last section. Oh, it's going to bug me now that I can't remember that. Okay.
You'll come to you.
Sometimes parents or grandparents will be the interfering grandparents. We've all heard about that. I think you've partially explained this, but I'm going to get really into the specifics of a healthy grandparent grandchild. It's just, I'm going to write it down because it just came to
Oh, it
me.
just came to you. Told you.
But from your perspective, with all you've seen, that where's the line, perhaps, is what I'm asking between what's interfering and what's teaching, in air quotes.
All right, so think about it from a standpoint of how much time does a grandchild spend with their parents versus with their grandparents? That's first and foremost, because of course it's different for everybody, but let's just use the general. They spend a lot of time with their parents at home, so there's structure, we hope, being made at home. That structure, if you don't know what it is, you don't know where your place is, so you don't know where you're stepping on the line. Because if you don't, you have in your mind, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. And then when you try to do that, you're like, no, I don't want you to do that. Going back to my point earlier, communication is the key to all of this. Nobody can speculate and then get upset when they don't get their way. And I know exactly what parent, grandparent style you're talking about, because I've seen some of that as well. It's frustrating, but it also tells me that there was no dialogue. It's a battle of, I have experience, I should be able to do this. I'm older, I should be able to do this. Well, they're my kids and I'm the one raising them. And that's what goes back and forth. Nothing's ever going to come of that. But the cooler heads have to prevail. And you have to go, hey, we both want what's best for the kids. We'll just say the kids. We both want what's best for the kids. Who's willing to be the bigger person? And in day and age that we live in now, nobody wants to be the bigger person because everybody wants to be right. And this is when you run into those, everybody wants to be right. So who's going to be the bigger person? Is it the grandparent goes, listen, I don't want to impede on what you're trying to teach, but I would like to be able to XYZ. Or the parents should be, hey, I want you to do as much. The only things I don't want you to do is XYZ. That's an understanding. That's dialogue. So now you've got your boundaries have been set. But if you don't set boundaries, you're always going to have conflict. Which leads to the next part is, how do you deal with the conflict? Do you just accept it and always be talking behind each other's back? I can't believe she won't let me do this with him or her. And he goes, I can't believe my mom and dad, I can't believe they did this. But they never have the conversation with each other. Do you think those kids are not hearing that? You don't think they're sensing that? So it comes back to, I apologize, I'm getting kind of riled up here, but I just know how kids are the ones caught in the middle of what we're talking about. And we're thinking about what the grandparents want and what the parents want, but what about what the kids are getting caught up in the middle of a ping pong table here? Or what is that pickleball, if you will, if you deal with grandparents. The kids are
Mini-golf,
the
yeah.
ball. Yeah, you're playing pickleball. So you really have to have dialogue. And even if that's that grandparent, and I know there's some grandparents like, well, I'm the grandparent and I should be able to do this. Well, you should be able to, but you're not gonna. Well, now you've created a lot of friction, and somebody's going to be hurt for a long time and never get over it. And that pain doesn't go away. And then if you lose your parents and you never resolve those kind of issues, they will stay with you because you'll regret not having those conversations. So my message to every grandparent out there, don't ever not speak up, because you will regret those times and those opportunities, because you're going to upset your son or daughter. It's about how you present it. Simply put, simplicity. That's what I'm trying to say. What's the other adjective for that? Well, simply, just keep it
Communication.
simple. Yeah, simple communication. There we go.
Kiss.
That I
Keep it
can't
simple,
do.
silly.
Keep
Yeah.
it simple. Yeah. Keep it simple. Yes.
It's
Killer.
a kiss.
Yeah.
Kiss.
Kiss. Kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. But yeah, keep it simple. But really, ultimately, everything we're talking about, Agnes, comes down to communication. If you're not willing to communicate, you're not going to resolve anything. And the other part is, like you're saying earlier, if you're willing to take the constructive criticism, as long as it's done right and respectfully, right, then we can work around things. But if you're just blatantly saying, "Hey, this, you don't do this," well, you're going to affect your relationship with the kids, because some grandparents may, be saying things at home, and the kids hear, it's like, "I can't believe so and so do this," and kids go back, "Mom and grandma was talking about you. She said you're this, that, the other thing." Like, what? So, yeah, those things happen. Those things happen. But communication is really the most important thing. Those are your grandkids. Know you love them, and if you love them enough, you love them enough to speak up. And it's about how you do it, and you do it from a place of compassion and love. Say, like, "I just want what's best for them," and not be combative.
Yeah. And I just had a conversation with a guest recently, and we talked about how we want to be remembered. And this is what I didn't remember earlier, is, when I think about when I'm dead and gone, how do I want my grandchildren to remember me? I don't want to be just the cookie grandma. I want to maybe be the cookie grandma, but also the grandma who did this and did that. And, they could talk to me about this or that. And that is not going to happen if their parents are only allowing me to be the cookie grandma. So, yeah.
Well,
And
yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
no, I was just going to say we have so much history now compared to, 8, 10, 15-year-old. And to be able to say, especially with world events the way they are right now, to be able to say, well, I remember, and you got to keep it calm and you can't get into big political rants, but to say, I remember when this happened, and this is how the world responded, and times are different. And then, yeah, now that you've reminded us about those open-ended questions, to turn around and give it back to them and say, like, what are you and your friends thinking about this, or something like that.
Right. Oh, that's a great. That's great. Yeah,
So
absolutely. Yeah,
that just.
I was just going to add, we talk about relationships. I want to give you a perfect example. I mentioned my older brother's kids. He has a son and daughter, and they're in their 30s now, their early 30s. Before my mom passed, my nephew lived in Florida and Chicago, and whenever he came back home, his mom lived 15 minutes from my mom. Whenever he came home, he stayed at my mom's house the entire time. He didn't stay at his mom's house. He stayed at his grandmother's house. He got to do whatever he wanted. Whatever he wanted, my mom would let him do. But it was the relationship from the time he was born. That was the relationship they had before my father passed. That was the relationship they had. And the reason I bring that up, that's the impact that every grandparent would love to have, is when their grandson or granddaughter comes in town and they can't wait to come stay with you, even though they know you're going to tell the same story 85 times, or they're going, my mom will want to cook him whatever he wanted. And now my wife and I go visit, we get this other stuff, but my nephew comes, he gets whatever he wants. But you know what? It doesn't bother me, because I know how much she loves him, and we love him just as much because we treat him the same way when he comes here. But I just used an example of how much love you can have for your grandkids, and how it can be given back to you. And if it means that much to you, you'll do what you need to make that happen.
There we go. One more question, and this time I'm going to ask it from a because you deal with so many teens, from a teen's point of view, and I don't know if you can generalize enough to answer because it's a fairly specific question. If a teenager could say one honest thing to the adults in their life without fear of reaction, so just everybody's going to stay calm in the room, what do you think they would say?
Oh, that's an easy question.
Oh,
I thought you were
okay.
going to ask me a tough question. That's an easy question. Because, and I'll even add a bonus one in there. There's two things that
Okay.
kids, there's absolutely two things that always come up. Parents don't listen, and they judge everything that they say. They don't listen, and they're always judged, regardless of what they say. Those are the two things that frustrate the heck out of teenagers and preteens. And the reason that does is their opinions are not valued. And this goes to what I was telling you, giving examples of what I do with the kids. I challenge them for their critical thinking skills, and I'm amazed at what they can do. But they don't get the same thing at home. So it's frustrating. They're not listened to, and they're, being judged. And the reason I say that is when you go to house, it's like, okay, I got to do my homework. I got to do my chores. I got to do this, got to do that. Well, yes, you got to do that. But what about the other dialogue? Case in point about the phones. If you say, hey, Antoine, put your phone down. You can't have your phone for 2 hours. So what about you? You haven't put your phone down since I got home. Not in a respectful way, but those are the kind of things. It's like, it's one or the other. I know you're the parent, but you have responsibilities. I have responsibilities. That's limiting our communication time. So being judged and being listened to, those are the two biggest things that really negatively affect young people.
Really quick story again is just literally yesterday, my grandson said something that his mother had said. And I looked at him and I said, "Go back and talk to your mother, and all you need to say is, 'Gee, that's not the way grandma remembers
Yeah. See that? See,
I don't know
those
if he
are
would."
great. Those are great stories. Yeah, those are great ones. Oh, you just, this is a great one. You just actually, this is a great thing for grandparents. Think about those things, right? Those are great conversation pieces to go back and forth. You want to still build your relationship with your kids while you're doing it with your grandkids. Think of something that happened and you tell how you either think it did or how it really did, and then go, hey, ask your mom and dad how this happened. It would be a great, just a great family conversation to have next time you all get together. And the reason I bring that up and why I get excited about it, it's a relationship building thing because there's dialogue happening there. But that's a great example. Great example.
I don't know if you remember the commercial, or even if it was in the States. I'm in Canada, so I don't know if it was even in the States, but this is many years ago, so maybe back in the 80s, perhaps. This child, teenage, pre young teen, was on the phone with grandpa and just complaining and complaining and complaining. And if you can remember to the way things were in the 80s, the grandfather, before he hung up, said, "Oh, okay, well, maybe just ask your mother about that tattoo." And it was
Oh,
silence. And so it was, grandpa giving the child a little bit of ammunition, no sides taken. And it stuck with me all these years. And it was literally decades and decades ago that the
yeah,
commercial
that's a
happened.
great one. And the fact that you remember it so vividly
Yeah,
is a
exactly.
perfect example of why those kind of things are great, for that relationship building, that family building relationship. So yeah, I think it's great. That's a great one. I don't remember a commercial, but I totally, and when as soon as you said, I'm like, yeah, that's a great one. That's really good.
Okay, so we touched on Sea of Success. You have a lot of courses and empowerment plans. Tell us about some of your resources.
Yeah. So on the website I have the Sea of Success Academy, and what that is, I have some limited courses, but I'll have them in three formats. We have the video format, audio, and then the ebook version, because everybody learns differently. And they are just on some of the topics in the personal growth and development skills that are in the book. And my goal is to put each and every one of those on the website. But one of the other things I'm in the midst of, in the final stages of, is I'm building a virtual teen enrichment program, virtual one. And it's going to be a 12-week program, and you can either take the whole program or you can kind of pick whichever one of the areas you need to kind of work on. But the great thing about this particular program that it's, and this is for grandparents too, because some grandparents may be guardians for their grandkids or have a lot of time with them, is there's also a workbook for the parents so they can follow along with what's being taught. So it's not like, oh, you sign up for this. So you'll know what they're going through, and you can always, oh, hey, how did this particular module go? And I heard that you were going through this. How did that go? And there's some questions to ask so that it helps in the engagement for parents to know that the kids are actually learning something. And then I have some free resources on the website too. There are some affirmations for there are four different modules of affirmations. And then there's also the blueprint for the Sea of Success. There's a free version of that on the website. Really breaks it down for anyone that's looking. When you go to the website, there's a pop-up that comes up after like 5 seconds. Just fill that out and you can download the free version. And it's just an overview and breakdown of not just the simplicity, effort, and attitude. It breaks down the word simplicity is also an acronym. Effort is an acronym. It kind of really aligns all of that and shows how that can be applied. And it can be applied for grandparents too, for adults as well, like you're asking. When I initially thought of wrote it, it was for preteens and teens, but a couple of parents read it and they're like, oh my gosh, I can apply this to what I'm doing. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I'll write a second one just for the parents. So those are a couple of things that I'm working on now. And the other is there'll be a new landing page on my website probably in the next 2 weeks. I started a unique group. It's people that have been on my podcast, Developing Tomorrow's Leaders. These are some amazing people, and we all do the same thing, try to impact the next generation of leaders. But it's an international group. It's 18, 17 individuals from around the world, and they've just been great people to that I've spoken with. And I asked them, I said, I want to have you be able to reach out and get you. And they've all just joined this group. It's called the Village of Inspiration, is the name of it. It's basically a group of people coming together, and we're going to be collaborating on some things down the road. So I would definitely, and I appreciate you having me on, Agnes, for one other reason is when I decided to do it, I realized that this is an opportunity for me expanding what I'm doing as well with grandparents as well, because I didn't realize that after having this conversation with you, it is important. It is for all those that impact young people, and grandparents absolutely do that. And I'm seeing it firsthand where I am, and I couldn't be prouder of the grandparents that I see interacting with the kids that I'm working with now, because they're dialed in and they're just really excited about what the kids are learning, and they love watching them.
And on that note, my usual last question, well, it's not the last one. What am I saying? But it's the stock question. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want mid-age women, grandmothers, to think about or to understand? Is there anything we haven't talked about?
Well, I would like to share when you asked how all this started, there's another part of the start part that's actually more important than what I shared with you, because I didn't want to really focus, because this really wasn't focused on that. But the reason you and I are having this conversation is because of my father. My father served in the United States Marine Corps for 30 years, from 1960 to 1990, served 2 tours in Vietnam. And unfortunately, we lost him to leukemia from his exposure to Agent Orange in 1996. And as a result of that, I started a nonprofit named in his honor. It's called JLT Fieldhouse, and it's a coaching and mentoring organization, and where I teach basketball skills, but I teach life skills through basketball, like I do with my coaching. But the most important thing about my father is that he was not my biological father. He married my mom and adopted my older brother and I when we were like 3 or 4 years old. And the things that we talked about today and all the things that I do with young people, I learned from him. And every day I carry on his legacy. And it's a reminder of you can make an impact, and you don't have to have kids of your own to have an impact on kids. He made a huge sacrifice adopting my brother and I. And what he taught us is what has allowed me to sit here and talk to you today and led to the Sea of Success coming to fruition and all those things. So that's the other thing that I think is really important that I like to share. And the relationship he had with his grandkids, my nephew, my niece. My nephew was only 3 years old when he passed, but my nephew talks about him like he was here for 20 years. That those 3 years, he learned a lot in 3 years. So, and my nephew is a big part of the nonprofit as well.
So, if I can paraphrase and you tell me if I'm doing it right or not, we've been talking to the grandmothers in the group, but to those women who are not grandmothers, there could well be a young person that they will influence whether they understand it or not, whether they realize it or not.
100% right. You hit the nail on the head, and I think that's what a lot of people forget, even in passing. And engaging with a young person, you just say, hey, how are you? You'd be surprised what face lights up when you do that. I have this ongoing social experiment where I'll go to a grocery store, fast food place, wherever. And if it's a young person, I'll try to have a conversation with them. And the sad part about it, Agnes, is that very rarely do I get a really good conversation because they don't know how to have conversations. So that's why what we're talking about is so important.
I remember a lot of years ago, I was going through a door and leaving a building, and there was three young people, teenagers coming, and I held the door for them. And they didn't know what to do about that. And I went, wait a minute, like teenagers, like how did you get this far in life without being shown that respect, which I would do for anybody, is hold the door if you're that close. But they honestly, I could just tell that they didn't know what to do, and they were sort of confused, and they're sort of thought about thanking me, but as I said, it just really hit home, and it sort of broke my heart in a little way. Okay, where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
Don't know, flip a coin. I don't know.
Which
Whatever
I
you
know, I've got about four things open here on my other
want.
monitor.
Well, the best thing to do is to go to jltfieldhouse.org, because you can access my Coach T's Corner website from there as well, because everything is on the jltfieldhouse.org website. And you can learn about my father on there and what we've done with JLT Fieldhouse and continue to do. And then when you go to Coach T's Corner, you can find out about the podcast that I have. So if you have grandkids that are preteens or teens and like to be a guest on Teen Speak, I have a link on my website, Teen Speak, to be a guest. Click that link, fill it out, tell us what you want to talk about. And Keith and I would love to have you on. And if you're an educator or someone else, actually, you know what? This is a great, if you don't mind, I would love to open invite grandparents to come on to my podcast, Developing Tomorrow's Leaders, because this has been a really educational conversation for me. And when I say I thank you, I genuinely mean that, because like I said, I'm always open to learning. And then what I've learned today is I've missed a whole group of people that I probably need to be focusing on. And I would love to have some grandparents on my podcast. So obviously, Agnes, that's an invitation for you as well, to come on the podcast and talk about how they see their impact with their grandkids. I think that would be a great thing for me to learn, is to hear from grandparents and find out how they are impacting their grandkids' lives.
There we go. Okay, there, listeners, go do it. Okay, I'm going to look at my notes now. So you're on the World Wide Web in several places. Are you on social?
I am on Facebook. I have a private Facebook group. It's called Developing Tomorrow's Leaders. So grandparents that have grandkids and like getting there, we have some content there, and some of my Village of Inspiration members are in, and they put some content in there as well. And also, Coach T's Corner is a my page on Facebook, and also on Instagram, Coach T's Corner. I'm also on TikTok, Coach T's Corner, and also on LinkedIn. I think that's
All right.
everything. Yes, I think that is.
Okay. Now that we've just determined that this man does not sleep.
I do not.
Okay. And you have two podcasts, just to make that clear to the listener. One
Yes.
definitely for teenagers, and then the other one is more adult oriented,
Adults.
is
Yes,
it?
ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes,
Okay.
ma'am.
And you mentioned your book, which is also available on the website.
On. It's on the website, and also on Amazon. The link will take you to Amazon, and it's available in paperback, hardback, and the Kindle version. Yes.
Okay, now this is a question that I always end before we close, and I think you've already answered it, but I'll ask it anyways, and then maybe I'll throw in a second question. Is it okay if I ask you a personal question before we close?
Sure.
Okay, 30, oh, almost 40 years mentoring young people. I was going to say, who was or is your mentor? It sounds like it was your dad.
Yes, when it comes to that, yes, absolutely, my father, without question, without question.
Okay.
Absolutely, my father.
Okay, so I get a second question now because you'd already answered that one. Are you still playing basketball? Like playing, or are
I
you just
will.
coaching?
Oh, good Lord, I still play with these kids. Good Lord, are you kidding me? So you want to hear funny? So this is how you know your kids love you and they look out for you. So we have what we call open gym sessions, where it's co-ed. We have different age groups. We go first through fourth grade, then fifth through eighth, and then ninth through 12th. Well, I play with the ninth through 12th, and we'll play a little bit. And before we start playing, they'll say, "Coach T," and I'm like, "Yeah." They go, "I'm like, yeah." They go, "You have your ankle braces on, your ankle sleeves on?" I'm like, "Yeah." "You got your knee sleeves on?" I'm like, "Yeah." "You got your back brace on?" I'll say, "Yeah." "Okay, you can play." And I do wear all three of those. So, yeah, but
Yeah.
the great thing about it, I laugh about it, but it tells me how much they care. because you want to make sure. And the reason is, hopefully my wife won't hear this, I'm not supposed to be playing. So if I come home and I'm sore, she'll know I played. But if I wear my sleeves on my knees and my ankles and my back brace, I'm not that sore, and she won't know, and I won't get in trouble.
That you've got this profile on Podmatch, you're on all sorts of podcasts. You mean your wife doesn't listen to the
I hope not. I hope not. Not this one,
podcasts?
anyway. Listen, she's heard me tell this stuff so much. I'm gonna tell you, I know a lot of grandparents out there, but I have the most supportive wife ever because she knows how much I love this. And no, she doesn't see me as much as she likes to, but she knows that this is my passion, and she knows I love these kids. And she sees me, we have a great time, but she knows when I'm gone, she knows why I'm gone. And I do feel like a kid every time I go to the gym. These kids make me feel like I'm in my 20s, even though I feel like I'm in my 80s when I get home, but that's okay.
And I think just one final thing that you just hit on is hanging around with young people keeps you young.
Absolutely, without question.
Okay, so your website links, plural, will be in the show notes. All of the links are on your page at our website. Listeners, if this conversation brought someone to mind, a grandchild, or even a moment you've shared, I'd love to hear about it. What's one small way you show up in their life? If you know a woman who is part of a young person's life, and as we just discussed, they might be the grandmother, an aunt, a mentor, please share this episode with her. These are conversations that ripple out. If you're enjoying these conversations, make sure you click the follow button on your favorite podcast platform. It helps more women find us and keeps these meaningful conversations going. If you'd like to listen early, I release each episode on Substack on Wednesday evening before it goes live everywhere else. And a reminder to check out the Start Here tab at boomwithabang.com. There's lots at the website and more coming. Antoine Thompson, thank you for being my guest today, for the work you're doing to support our youth, like so many youth, and to support all the people that care for them. Really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Agnes. I really appreciate you having me on. And like I said, I wasn't sure how this would go, but I am super excited that I did because I learned a lot, how I can even impact more kids now that I know that I need to start reaching out to some grandparents, specifically grandmothers.
There we go. Okay. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of the week.
You too.